This is a conference finals week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
And it's a 5-on-4 for the Thunder. Down the lane, Holmgren. Oh, what a jam with the right hand of a bounce pass from Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, conference finals week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. No Sprague today, just Dirt and Swag hanging out with you. Swag's back. I gain a swag and I lose a Sprague on a Friday, but you know, everybody's going into the weekend. The sun is shining.
Yeah, but you got a tea time.
But I got a tea time.
That is the most important thing on a Friday.
Yes, it is. No better way to start your weekend. Get it kicked into high gear with a, you know, a couple of cocktails and some birdies.
You having some infusions? Is that what they're called?
Or transfusions? We'll be handing out at some point this afternoon. Very excited about that. We'll see how the golf game looks. Probably not very good. You missed Jason Swigart. Oh, buddy, do I have a lot to fill you in on. You missed quite the office kerfuffle while you were gone.
Oh, well, at least one I didn't, quote, create.
You didn't know.
Usually
you were
I'm
not a
the
part
one
of this.
Creating them of no
I
notice
feel like
to me.
If this would have happened, you might have jumped into the fray a little bit. You're also going to have a responsibility with this office drama because it's going to lead to an event that I am putting together. You missed a shouting match between one Joe Fisher and Danny Morang after the show. What day was this? Tuesday? I want to say it was Tuesday, right after we get off the air.
Ooh.
Morang likes walking around, and he comes straight from the gym. It's quite the sight. He comes straight from the gym.
Yeah.
Good for him, getting in shape, working out, taking it seriously.
Comes in like a tornado.
He's still wearing his gym clothes. He showers here at the office, which is a
then
unique call.
Then he devours some sort of meal in between breakfast and lunch.
Right, so he comes in and braggadociously is talking about his deadlifting numbers or his pull,
exactly.
You know, whatever, right?
He's me saying he can squat 300.
Exactly, right?
Okay.
And so he's out. We're all sitting out here in the bullpen after the show. Their show has not quite begun yet.
Joe Fish not afraid to fire off a quip at times.
He'll shoot from the hip if he needs to. And so Morang's, you know, 400, 500, what, 600 pounds, whatever he's throwing out there, right? And Joe Fisher, under his breath, just mumbles BS, but not in the, you know, he says the, like, and that just sent him into a tizzy. And all of a sudden, it's like, Sprague and I are just sitting there looking at each other like, what is happening? How are we in the middle of this right now?
So was this like during the final segment of your show?
The show is over. This is the interchange.
Oh,
the line change.
Oh, okay.
Line change moment.
Yeah.
We've left the studio. Patrick is in here. Danny's leaning out the door screaming at Joe. Sprague and I are just looking at each other laughing like, what? And it led to the proclamation from Danny Morang that there was not a single athletic feat that Joe Fisher could beat him at. You know our Anthony Edwards Open? Ping pong, tennis,
right.
Racquetball,
hockey.
He dropped one of those on Joe Fisher. Like, you can't beat me in literally anything. And so now we are targeting June 20th as the official Cargo Short Classic 18-hole match play golf event between Danny Morang and Joe Fisher. And you, my friend, as your as the prestigious host of Golf in the Northwest,
yes.
RIP.
Golf in the Northwest, just on hiatus.
Just on hiatus. Not RIP, thank you. Yeah.
Not RIP. We're on hiatus. We're trying to sort it, refigure it out, but we got other
priorities.
It's in
priorities. A coma. You know, we'll wake it up from a
We've
coma
at some
point.
We've added the thorns and the timbers and the fire and...
Right.
Yeah, there's a
I
lot
nominated,
going on.
You were nominated as the person with probably the most knowledge of the golf rule book, and
okay.
So we're going to need you in a zebra shirt and a zebra hat out there.
All right.
Being the
oh,
rules
so
official.
I'm like head of the caddies in Caddyshack.
You could, yeah.
So please, or anything else that could get me fired,
yeah.
We're waiving all, yeah.
Yeah, and then when there's a rules infraction, we're
going
to have to call
honor.
Over the rules okay. expert, and you're going to have to come over and give a ruling.
Now, when is this?
We're targeting June 20th. It
well,
is written in
it
pencil.
It won't be me if it's June 20th.
That's right. You're going to be in Italy, aren't you? You're
yes.
Gone. Damn it, Swigart.
So if you can zoom me in.
there you go. We'll do. I see that commercial, right, where the guy is playing golf with like the AT&T glasses
yeah,
or whatever.
Grandpa.
Yeah, you'll be on the cruise. What are you talking about? That's
yeah.
white steak. That's not red steak. That's white steak. Go back to the tee
yeah.
box. So that's you missed that this week. It's created
wow.
Quite the debate. And the ruling has been, because this was supposed to be a multi-event thing, but I have made, if you proclaim that somebody can't beat you in anything.
If they beat you in one thing,
it's
over. You
right?
lose.
You lose.
You better wear that shame.
Thank you. So if Danny wins the golf event,
then we'll say, go to okay, one-on-one Joe, hoops. What do you think you can beat him at?
Right, flag football, whatever we need to do. We have options, going to a batting cage and hitting 80 miles per hour.
So oh, is this how we're going to get Joe to finally do a 40-yard dash?
It might be how we get Joe to do a 40-yard dash. He needs time. He tweaked his back, so he needs some time to work his swing into shape. I said, I'll give you a couple weeks, buddy. We'll get there. So you missed that. That was quite the entertaining week.
I hope I don't pull anything on Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Be careful. Don't be swinging from your heels, okay? Watch those obliques, people. We're getting old. We can't quite do it the way we used to. Lots to get to in this hour of radio. Lots of local news, and let's start there. So yesterday, you know, it's a normal Thursday. Normal old Thursday. I'm cooking some dinner, perusing the internet. Kiddos watching some tube. I'm like, all right, let's see what I've missed throughout the course of this afternoon.
We into Sesame Street yet?
Dude, he loves Sesame Street. Nice. Yeah, it's Sesame Street does it. Music videos will do it. He's getting into, is it Raffy? I listened to Raffy when I was Raffy.
Yes.
Yeah, he's getting into Raffy, you know.
Okay.
Shake Your Sillies Out. It's number one jam right now. That's number one on our playlist.
Do we do the Wiggles?
I don't do the Wiggles.
The Wiggles is a lot to take.
The Wiggles scare me.
There was a while there. Pax was into the Wiggles.
I get it. They'll pop up occasionally, and like the if you're just playing videos, it'll be one that shows up.
What's the other one? Little Einstein or something like Baby Einstein?
Baby Einstein, I think is the one. The Wiggles make me uncomfortable. Do they not make other people
they
uncomfortable?
They should.
Like they're Australian. One guy's got a silver tooth.
I know.
Like just, yeah. Anyways, I digress. So I'm scrolling, and I see a tweet. From Chris Haynes had the initial report, and it has now been corroborated.
Former friend of the show,
friend of the program, friend of the city, if you will.
Yes.
And he announced yesterday that the Portland Trailblazers have requested permission to meet with L.A. Clipper assistant Jeff Van Gundy, and he has emerged as one of the finalists for their head coaching openings. Now, a couple things here, and then we'll get to the poll question,
yes,
and we'll parcel through all of this. I love the phrasing of this, that they've asked permission to meet him, but he's a finalist. So have they not met with him yet, and he's already a finalist? A little confused by that. Just my two cents. Maybe they've talked in unofficial ways, and that led to him being a finalist, and now it's an official conversation. Maybe. I'm confused by the phrasing there.
Okay.
And then Mark Stein jumped into the fray and said, yes, indeed, Jeff Van Gundy is a finalist for the Blazers head coaching opening. And they are now down to, according to him, now it's not saying that this is the only three, but you know maybe there's more. But these are the three that we know. There are three finalists, according to
these are
to Mark
supposedly
Stein.
The names at the top of the list.
We got to figure out which door. You open in door one, door two, or door three. Which one do we want to go?
Okay.
And we got Jeff Van Gundy, door number one. Door number two, come on back, potentially, Tiago Splitter, who everybody told me 2 weeks ago was gone. No way he's back. Now he's a finalist for the job again. He has reemerged as a candidate. And door number three is Mike Inouye, who is the assistant for Minnesota.
Yeah.
For those who don't know his track record, he's 52 years old, so he's not a super young, you know,
no,
guy.
He's been around. He's paid his dues.
Long time. He was an assistant for Toronto for 4 years, Sacramento for 3 years, Denver for 3 years. I don't think he was there when they won their championship. Maybe I'd have to go look at the years. Detroit for a couple of years, and then he's been in Minnesota for the last 5 years now. So he would have missed Denver's, so he's been in Minnesota now for 5 years and helped them and Ann Edwards and all that, and they've been to conference finals.
Yeah.
So 52 years old, he's been around, he's been coaching forever. I think 2009 was his first year as an assistant. So nearly 20 years on a bench on an NBA team. He's been through a lot. So those are your three finalists, and the poll question is up. And you can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. I'll give a quick results, and I'll get your thoughts, Swag, because Jeff Van Gundy is a name that's just like, what? That caught me off guard yesterday. Right now, if you could pick, 36.2% want Mike Inouye, so the unknown over the known. 31.9, Jeff Van Gundy and Tiago Splitter are tied.
Wow.
31.9, 31.9.
Yeah.
So it's very evenly split. And it's the, hey, this guy hasn't been a head coach in 19 years. Hey, this guy has never been a head coach before. And this guy did a pretty good job last year as the interim guy. But, you know, do we want to bring him back? Did he deserve to be to come back? What do we make of the three finalists for the Blazer coaching search?
I think you have a nice variety. They're not all the same. So
no.
I do like that. And I think that's what you're going to find, you know, as we hear from Tom Dunham, we've heard more things as he's talking about the Moda Center, whatever he is. People want definitive things from him right up. This is the thing where we push back and just go,
let it play out.
People, you need to settle out. They want some definitive thing from him on the Moda Center. It's like, okay, if the city council doesn't come through or they screw it up or politics get in the way, are you going to write a check and cover it and get it done?
Right.
And he says, well, we'll solve that problem when the problem needs to be solved.
When we get there.
And what is the specific problem? And so you look at this is like, okay, there's several different ways to put a winning formula together and win. I will say, I think if Thiago gets the gig ultimately, I will assume from that Damian Lillard had far more input on that than maybe if somebody else gets picked. If somebody else gets picked, I think that's more.
I don't know what his relationship. Yeah, I don't know if he has one with the other
guys. Well, but Dame was sitting there on the sidelines, knew what was going on in the locker room, and he values. He's like, hey, if, you know, how much, and he's talked with whoever he's talked with. I'm sure he's talked to Joe. Okay, yeah, we want to shake it up, and maybe Tom's going to try to pull something off if you, you know, if the Giannis thing happens, which I'd be pretty shocked from Giannis's point of view, but if it happens, you know, Dame would know. Giannis is like, no, with Thiago, it's going to work.
Right.
But with going with the other guys and Tom, you know, he's like, okay, what do we need? What's the biggest thing to get us from where we got to this year to another 10 wins into the 50s, into
how do you take another
flirting
step
with home court advantage,
right?
Those sorts of things. And, yeah, there's different ways to look at it. Van Gundy, from a media standpoint, would be the home run. That would get me to want to go cover things back there again, going down into the locker room.
Can he bring his brother? Can we get a tandem? Can we get Jeff and Stan on the same staff?
I want Stan. Maybe there's... You know, I don't know if he's going to shake up the broadcasting whatevers, but then
Stan,
if we get
come
Stan
in and be a broadcaster.
As a broadcaster or studio guy or something.
Van Gundy West. It would be fantastic.
The Van Gundys in Portland, that is a reality show.
They're entertaining as hell, man.
You know, I know there's some vacancies at the Ritz-Carlton. They need to sell some of those. If we could, you know, get a little TV, put it in reality show with those two in one of those high-rise Ritz-Carlton.
I'd watch it.
Count me in.
I'd be in, man. I'd be in.
They certainly would be required to play defense under Jeff Van Gundy.
Yes, they would.
And they would have to sort out how best to utilize the guys that they will have. There's certain guys I think it would be great for. If they bring in Jeff Van Gundy, I'm almost certain that Shaedon Sharpe is gone.
There's no chance he's back. If Jeff Van Gundy's the head coach next year, there's no
chance.
That's
oil and water the way I look at it.
Yes, there's no possibility. So, I mean, I already think he's gone to begin with.
I think Jeff Van Gundy, though, he could light a fire in Scoot. He could light a fire in Klingon. Mm-hmm. But I also think he's going to explain to them exactly what it is that he wants to do. And how key they are to being able to do those things.
You know, it's interesting because you know how I feel about NBA coaching, right? Like, I don't, sometimes maybe it comes across as like disrespectful as if you don't do anything. That's certainly not my intention.
No.
But I just like when you're.
But there's certain spots that you see it in that Knicks game.
Yes, in the playoffs without a doubt in a series.
So, yeah, so
adjustments
Atkinson came out. We are going to double team. We are going to blitz Jalen Brunson. We're going to leave Josh Hart open. It's like, okay, so. Jalen, you got to be willing to draw the double team, but you've got to know where you're going with the basketball. And you saw how they made adjustments, and he boosted up Josh with tons of confidence.
Yes.
He's like, they're going to leave you open.
Postseason is where you see it.
Go find yourself the open space on the opposite side of the floor and drill threes. Shoot them.
I think you saw in the conference finals in the West, too, where they a lot more Hartenstein in game two than game one. Mm-hmm. And he's a bigger body and he's more physical. And
yeah.
Dude, he's grabbing and pulling Wemby the entire
it's
game.
In
but
those
it's just,
specific moments
no
and
doubt
the
about
adjustments.
It.
And it's like, okay, this is what they're doing. This is how we're going to counter.
Right. Throughout the course of an 82-game regular season, I'm not just saying you roll the balls out and go play. But I think the biggest
There's
issue.
There's less of that.
Yes.
In any one game in the regular season than there is in the playoffs where you have to win every game.
Without a doubt. And I think there's an idea that, you know, if you change the coach from last year, this is where I'll be fair to Thiago. Like, if Thiago comes back, I'm not upset about it at all. I thought he did fine. I also think this idea that he was like God's gift to coaching and look how impressive it was, it's... Well, let's also put a little context. Like, yes, there was a lot of injuries that they had to deal with. It was a tumultuous season. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
like, he had to bring everybody together.
Expertise was just getting everybody on the same page night out.
And then you go look in the back half of the year at who they beat, and they didn't beat a team with a pulse in the entire second half of the year. They racked up 42 wins, partially because they got a little bit better, but also because this was the most egregious example of tanking we've maybe ever seen in the NBA. And they played a lot of those teams in the back half of the year, and they beat them. And so, like, let's be fair here instead of just saying, well, he won 42 games and was great. I'm not saying he was terrible. I'm saying there is a little bit of context that goes behind it.
And I think Tiago was, he got thrown into it. He's wanted to be a head coach, but he will tell you his learning curve is...
Yes, from game two or one or whatever.
Part of what goes into the formula, if you want to bring Tiago back, and like I say, if the roster, despite what Tom Dundon may think he wants to do, they can't pull it off. They can't inject, a couple of big roster shakeup moves in the offseason for whatever reason. And you're going to have predominantly a lot of the same players back.
Yeah, having Tiago back, it serves a purpose there.
Yeah.
But if you make a move and it's more of a veteran team, because we're kind of now, it's amazing how quickly we've gone from tanking and not getting any really elite players out of the draft to like now, let's go get Anthony Davis this offseason and pair him with Damian Lillard. Like,
that would scare the hell
out of me. And Drew Holiday. Like, okay. So I think that will dictate what kind of coach you want to go get. But. Like, I think at the end of the day, the most important part for the Blazers this offseason, whether it's Nori, Van Gundy, or Splitter, or there's another finalist that we don't know about, the most important thing is what do you do in trades? Who do you go get? Yeah. Like, who do you acquire? Like, at the end of the day in the NBA, 87% of winning game in and game out is what lineup are you running out there? And then, yes, there's little coaching things and keeping egos in check and making sure guys are working hard and doing the right thing. And then it certainly changes and flips a little bit come postseason time, to your point, and I agree completely. In the playoffs, it's a much different animal. I love this for a handful of reasons, just the finalists that we know about. We came from an era, and Sprague and I have been talking about this a ton. We got into it again yesterday. Like, you were gone this week, and they laid off a bunch of people, and we went through that.
Yeah, I saw that.
All the people losing their jobs. It's horrible, right? Like, we don't want anybody to lose their job.
No, don't want anybody to lose their jobs.
There's a memory holding, I think, at times, and this is our biggest frustration right now, of how things have operated over the last 20 years, as if it's been sunshine and rainbows. No. We've been winning at a high level. There's been no controversy. And like, what bizarre world have you been living in? And all of a sudden Dundon takes over and we're shining a microscope on everything when that should have been the case for the last 20 years, right? Yeah. We just don't do that in this market very often. But one of the things that we have been critical of at times, the last time we needed a general manager, Neil O'Shea got fired for workplace, infractions, whatever you want to say.
Malfeasance.
Thank you. And they didn't interview anybody. And Joe has done good. He's done bad. It's been, kind of like all GMs. There's some hits and some misses and some nice moves and some bad moves, right? But you didn't even interview any. You just said, go ahead, take the job. And Joe maybe is the right guy long term, but this is the part that I kind of chuckled about yesterday for a couple of reasons. One, if you're hiring Jeff Van Gundy, first off, it's not going to be for $1 million
a year.
No, it won't
be cheap.
So that story goes completely out the window.
He hasn't coached in the better part of two decades, so he's not going to command top dollar.
It's not going to be $15 million a year, but he ain't working for $1 million.
$4-6 million a year, I would assume.
So all of a sudden, that theory or that rumor or that concern disappears, right? So all that time we spent yelling about not paying a coach or getting the guy from Lane Community College would go directly out the window. The other part of it that I like, though, is that I feel like there would have been a feeling from the last administration, if you will, to just say, Tiago did good, we won 42 games, make him the coach, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you end up coming back to Tiago again, I have no issue with that. I thought there were a lot of things that
he did well.
But you've
gone through a process and said, you know what, we looked out there, we looked for something different, we looked for people that had different ways to do it,
right.
But we came back, and where this team is, where it's going.
You know what, this guy is actually the best candidate.
It's the best fit right now for where we're at.
You went and slept around a little bit and you thought, you know what, I really do love her. She is the best. I'm going back to her. But you got to play the field a little bit, do you not? And it also dispels this notion of how offensive they were to Tiago Splitter. How could you do that to it? Like, if he ends up coming back, he clearly wasn't that offended. Now, I don't know how many other openings there are that he's interviewing for or a part of. Like, I think Chicago, his name has been thrown out a little bit. It just, I hope that yesterday, and it's been another tumultuous week for the Portland Trailblazers with the layoffs and all the conversations we're having, I just hope that yesterday was a nice breath of fresh air for me of like, hey, an actual basketball-related thing that we can talk about that's not fear-mongering. We're not hiring the Westland basketball coach for $48,000 a year. Like, look at that. There's three interesting names, all drastically different, with different levels of experience. Mm-hmm. And let's go see who the next head coach is going to be. Hopefully we find out sooner than later. You can go vote on our poll question at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Who do you want to be the guy? We'll read some of the comments, give an update on the responses, and I got a few more thoughts on this because As many people are pointing out, they're okay hiring Jeff Van Gundy as long as he grabs Wemby's ankle in a fight.
That's right.
It has to be.
Klingon has had enough and he squares off with Wemby. He has to come out and hold on to that ankle for dear life.
That's the only way. You can get the job under one condition, Jeff.
Yes.
That is the one condition.
And hopefully that is an NBA Cup game.
Yeah. Now we're talking. Some more thoughts on the Blazer coaching search next. 105.1 FM The Fam. Hope you're all ready to get your John Daly on this weekend. Hit it hard, baby. Swing from the hips. Welcome back in. Happy Friday. Dirt and Sprague here. 105.1 FM, The Fan. A big college football hour ahead at the top. We'll get to comments from an AD, a president, a coach taking shots. There's a lot going on in the college football world. You just mentioned something in your update that I have in my notes because there is speculation about where a certain team might be playing come regional time, which would be delightful. So I'll tell you what that is. We'll get to that a little bit later on here in this hour. A lot of thoughts coming in, as expected, on the Blazer coaching finalists. Three different names. And it's interesting, like, the perspective that everybody has, right? Like, somebody texted in, and I don't know if this was purposely done or if it was an auto-check spelling. Van Gumball is the number one way to get me to stop paying attention to the Blazers. I can't stand that dude. He said so many stupid things as a broadcaster. I just can't stand him. Teach their own. I won't tell you how to fan. There's been other things I would say should have probably done that to your fandom over the last handful of years, but if Van Gundy does it to you, teach their own. You know, and it's funny because everybody will have a perspective on, there's a lot of, like, just bring Tiago back. A lot of, no, don't bring Tiago back. The offense wasn't good. He was supposed to be an offensive guy. This is where I will go back to, you know, the criticism of Tiago, where I will be fair to him. Their offense was not very good this year. They couldn't shoot the ball from three to save their life. What were they, 28th in the NBA, I believe, in three-point shooting?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a coaching thing. Like, you just didn't have guys
who
could shoot.
His offense is designed. He wants to take advantage of the three. That's where you go to Joe and say, yes, I need more shooters.
I need guys who can shoot.
Like, they thought that your boy Veet was going to come in and help him, give him a boost off the bench.
Yes.
That didn't happen.
Like, again, I'm not trying to act like there's not certain nuances or things. He acknowledged, even in the aftermath of the season, like, I should have run more sets here or there in the playoff series. Like, he was self-respective.
First-year head coach who wasn't expecting to be a first-year head coach.
Right, but I've seen that of, like, if you hire Jeff Van Gundy, your offense is going to struggle because he's a defensive-minded guy, and there's a little bit to that, but also, like, go get an offensive player. go get aggressive in the offseason and go find somebody who could be an impactful player on the offensive end
for you. How many guys on this roster right now have great mid-range games?
Yes.
And you have one of the best screeners in the game. You don't think Jeff Van Gundy can learn how to run half-court sets? Now, it might not be as entertaining or as scintillating as a fan.
No.
But if you want to win,
it's not 10 seconds or less.
If you are efficient in the half-court offense and drive people nuts and get them into foul trouble and, you know, and then you have, you know, force them into pick and roll. How are we going to do it? We're going to blitz. We're going to double team. Then you can find a couple of spot up shooters on the weak side in the corners to knock stuff down.
Yeah.
That's how you put together an efficient offense. And, oh, what are you watching in the playoffs?
Hey, efficient offenses. One other note, too, because Sean Sweeney's another name that popped up a lot early on in the searches. He is I think he's the lead assistant for San Antonio. I don't know what his official designation is. He seems like he is. He's always talking to Wembanyama during the games. And I understand the desire to want a guy like that to be a finalist. A couple things on that. One, let's not overreact to coaching success in San Antonio and act like that's a staff thing. I think if Tiago Splitter was the head coach of the Spurs, their record would be the same. But they have something that has never been seen before in the NBA.
I understand.
Sean's, like, I'm not saying coaching doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm just saying Eric Bieniemy is an offensive coordinator. How has he been away from Patrick Mahomes? And I'm not saying that's the case with Sean Sweeney. I'm just saying, like, let's put a little context behind that one, okay? It helps to have Victor Wembanyama running everything and being a force defensively, and it's going to make you look like a really smart coach.
It is different coaching-wise, though, because he's so unique. He's so dynamic. How do you get an offense to have an offense and a system that works through him and around him?
I get it. I'm not saying it's none. Yeah. I'm just saying that helps a lot.
Harder
it makes
than you
look.
You think to have.
I'd love that challenge. I'll take that challenge on.
Coaches would love that challenge.
Give me the 7'5" guy who can dribble and block shots. He missed a layup the other night, missed a shot with his right hand, was underneath the hoop, reached around to the other side of the hoop, and tipped it back in himself.
Like, no, I understand.
That's not coaching, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So I get your point. There's a little more nuance than I'm giving it, but let's just, before we just crown Sean Sweeney this genius in coaching, let's acknowledge having one of the
Pop's
best young rosters
the scenes, pulling
in the NBA helps a little bit. But he's not a finalist. My guess on why he's not a finalist is because he's going to be the next head coach of Dallas. And if I'm a head coaching candidate,
I'm not going
anywhere near Portland if Dallas is available.
Yeah, kid got whacked.
What would I rather have? Cooper Flagg or whatever we're offering? Give me Cooper Flagg 10 times out of 10. He just won the Rookie of the Year. So that's my guess, although I don't know if that ends up coming true. That's just my two cents on it. Here's what I will say about each candidate. I like them all for different reasons. Van Gundy, like, the knock on Van Gundy is that he's a defensive guy. What are his off, you know, his half court sets going to be? He hasn't been a head coach in 19 years. And again, what I would say to that, like, I heard Isaac and Suke talk about this yesterday because I saw the news and I'm like, how about that Blazer news? And I pulled up primetime as I was cooking dinner. And they brought up a good point about the idea that, like, it's not that he's been out of coaching for 19 years because nobody wanted to give him a job. Like, I feel like his name would always surface from time to time and would pop up in conversations. I don't think people understand how cush the main broadcast job of a sport is. You go from the stretch, like, dude, that guy was bald at like 31. He had a horse, you know, a horseshoe ring on his head. Like he's pulling his hair out. He's coaching the Knicks. Like, that's pressure packed stuff. I know he ended up in Houston. He coached some other places. How much money do we think he was making to be the lead analyst or one of the lead analysts on the NBA Finals for over a decade? $4-6 million a year. So you're making great money. You're traveling. You're still in the game. You're involved in the game. You're scratching your basketball itch.
Exactly.
You don't have. Well,
you're based in New York.
Ironically, ended up getting fired.
I think
fired,
the biggest thing for him is he. How will he adjust to Portland?
I mean, he's been in L.A. He's been a bigger city guy. I think he'd be fine with it. I think he wants a head coaching job. He's like 62, 63 years old. He probably understands this is the last crack at it. And so if you're willing to offer him the job, I think he's fine going to whatever market he would go to. My point is just simply to say, like, this idea he's been out of coaching for 19 years, nobody wanted him. That's just not true. I think he had a great gig he didn't want to walk away from. And now is realizing after getting fired from ESPN, he's gotten back into coaching and been an assistant for a couple of years, that, hey, let's go make one more run at this thing. So I just wanted to dispel that notion that it was 20 years nobody wanted to touch him. He just had a great gig and he didn't want to walk away from it at ESPN, and then he got fired. The Mike Inouye thing, like, I've seen people equate it to Chauncey Billups, of you're getting a guy who hasn't been a head coach before. We just kind of went through this with Tiago. It was a learning experience. To me, they're drastically different.
This guy's been an assistant for, what, 15, 20 years?
16 years, man. Like, since 2009, he's been at Chauncey
1 year.
He was an assistant for 1 year.
With the Clippers.
And we gave him a 5-year contract, fully guaranteed. Like, Jesus, what were we doing? To me, those are not apples-to-apples comparisons, right? So I get it. He's never been a head coach before, and that's a questionable door you're opening. There's no guarantee he knows what he's doing. But I also don't like equating it to Chauncey because he's been an assistant for so long and he's been with different organizations. He's seen a lot of different things around the NBA. And for Tiago, like, it goes back to kind of what we were talking about last segment, and that simply being he's got an understanding of the roster. I think he learned a lot about himself in his first year as a head coach. He acknowledged it in the aftermath of the San Antonio series. And I have maintained since the end of the season, like, I have no issue if Tiago is back as the head coach. I'm also not going to be up in arms screaming, how dare you, if he's not back. It doesn't matter that much to me, and I think any of these guys have a chance to succeed, depending on what the GM and the owner go out and do in terms of adding to the roster. So I think each one brings a unique perspective. Each one brings a different skill set. Each one has different strengths and weaknesses. And this, again, goes back to the comments on Dundon, where there's this thought of he's cheap and he won't spend for anything. He doesn't care. And he's, you know, he's John Fisher of the A's. He's going to sell everybody off and strip it to parts. Like, that's not the case. He wants to cut on the business side, which we all knew he was going to cut on the business side. He wants efficiency. We had the most employees of any NBA organization and the lowest pay or the lowest revenue of any NBA organization. That's just not a business model that works for literally anybody other than an absentee owner who doesn't care and check the financial statements
because
it ain't
her money. Yeah.
So this idea that he's taken this much time and collected three different guys to potentially be finalists for the job who all bring different skill sets and perspectives, I personally love. Because that, to me, is a successful
search. And I think,
search.
For me, whoever is the hire is going to tell me a lot about what the plan for the offseason is. If it's Van Gundy, that's where I think the Blazers think they can make a big swing blockbuster move to bring in somebody that is as established as kind of the, I don't know if the final piece, but a main piece of taking the next step to being truly competitive.
Yes. And I'd be all for that if that's the move they
make. If it's Tiago, like I said, I think they're looking at the market and there's stuff they would like to do, but they're not 100% certain they're going to be able to pull it off.
Right.
with the way things are initially. Like, yes, it might just take longer to get there than they're hoping. And if it's who's from Minnesota?
Nori. Micah Nori.
Then I think you're going to see, okay, I think they're going to make a ton of moves, but it's going to be getting younger, and they want somebody that's new and fresh and going to put a whole new system together, and there's going to be a ton of roster turnover, but it might not be the, you know, the big blockbuster deal that everybody's hoping for.
Yeah, my ultimate stance on this, and again, I will maintain the original opinion I've had the entire time, like, as long as you do your due diligence and you sit down with as many candidates as possible, I understand whatever move you're going to end up making. I'm not upset about any of these guys being the head coach. I'm not livid if none of them are hired. I think, again, to the point, they all bring different skill sets and strengths, and maybe to your point, it depends on what they do in the offseason with the roster, and that dictates who they want to be the next head coach. I would just simply say, and part of this is being a little self-centered, if you like, the Jeff Van Gundy thing is too good for me to pass up for a number of reasons. One, I think it brings you back in the limelight of the NBA PR news cycle in a different way than you have in the last 2 weeks.
I wonder how many more national TV games they could get just by making him.
That's part of it, man. Like, he's an entertaining guy. He was at ESPN forever. He was the lead guy for the NBA Finals forever. So that's an angle for me. I also would just love it from the self-centered nature of, I have never had a fear that Tom Dundon is going to skimp when it comes to expenses of the basketball team and the winning. And so I would just simply like to kill and bury that storyline that everybody has run rampant with for weeks and been screaming about for weeks. It will not go away.
All the aggregators keep picking stuff up.
You know how you kill it? You pay Jeff Van Gundy $6 million a year to be your head coach. Okay, so how's that for cheap? So no longer the Lane Community College guy? Like, we're not paying $100,000 for a coach? Just end it now. And so I don't think Nori would cost that much because he's never been a head coach before. He's a first-time head coach. He'd be cheaper. And Tiago would cost you probably more than Nori, but it's not probably on the same level as Jeff Van Gundy.
Right. Because
if he's taking that move, he's the lead assistant in L.A. Like, I don't know what their offseason plans are there. But I just, from that angle of it, I would love to just shoot and kill that one out of the sky. Of like, can we stop this nonsense that just because we're cutting a PR staffer means we're going to trade away our best players because we don't want to pay them. Yeah. Or players won't, like, it just has been ludicrous to me the entire time. And I think his entire tenure as an owner in Carolina shows you he does not skimp when it comes to putting a roster together and trying to win.
Yep.
Is he going to fire an expensive broadcaster? Yeah, because he doesn't see the purpose of it. And he believes, to the fans' point, all that matters at the end of the day is winning. And you can bitch about moves that are made. John Forslund gets fired. But guess what Carolina Hurricane fans are not complaining about anymore? John Forslund getting fired. It was their lead TV guy. Now, it sucked for John Forslund. And at the moment, you complain about it.
Hurricane fans say thank you.
Yes. And now you've been to the playoffs 8 straight years and nobody brings it up anymore. And so I just, part of it is self-service, but I just want that narrative to die.
You can't totally discount, obviously. And I think what he will find is, in the NBA, the PR is a little bit more important that it does. And sometimes we get frustrated that it has too much influence and we lose track of what's actually going on game to game.
Sure.
But he'll get used to Blazer fans are a little different.
Quirkiness.
So he'll understand. Yeah, we get sentimental very quickly about a lot of things with this team.
Yes, we do.
So he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He'll find a happy medium. But yeah, ultimately, if he makes a couple of moves and this team wins 50 some odd games next year and is battling for a 4 seed,
let's just let that narrative die. Please, for the love of God.
Then are we worried about
So all of a sudden, maybe he's not going to pay only $900,000 for a head coach. Who could have possibly seen that? What a shocking development. We'll let you know any updates throughout the course of the day if they come around the rest of the show. Our poll question of the day, Neighborhood Restaurant Group poll question of the day. Who do you want to be the next Blazers head coach? Jeff Van Gundy, Micah Nori, or Tiago Splitter? One listener pointing out, by the way, that Nori was on the staff in Toronto when they won the title. So he doesn't have a ring as an assistant head coach. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We'll update that coming up at the end of the show. Let's stick locally. The possibility of making a rivalry spicy again. I'll tell you what that means. We'll get to it next. 105.1 FM The Fan. Well, we got a 3-day weekend ahead for some. Look at my co-host. It's a 4-day weekend. That bastard taking a day off. That's all right. I'm playing golf later, though. Speaking of golf, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, You can join us June 23rd as Toyota presents Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. The afternoon round, sold out. Bye-bye. Can't play in it if you wanted to. Sorry, you snooze, you lose. You got to do it earlier next year. There are, according to my email from yesterday, I just realized I have the wrong read here, so let me go pull up the other read.
Ah.
Because these update constantly. We have, according to the brand man,
yes,
two foursomes left.
And that was yesterday, so two. One might have
Isaac
taken.
And Soup shouted it out. They might have already sold out, and we just haven't got an email yet. So I don't even know. It might be fully sold out.
It could be sold out, but
no
if
idea.
You want to play and you've been waiting.
Yes, now it's time.
No, you need to do it before the weekend.
Go do it literally right now. And with only two left to go in the afternoon, it's the most fun day in golf, activations, tastings around the course, infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole, where all of our hosts, myself, Sprague, Danny Patrick, Luke, Isaac Souk, will be posted up heckling and admiring your shots. I am happy this year, I will say, one small victory. Nobody has taken advantage of the Fan Golf Classic more than Luke Anderson over the years. That guy, I feel like that guy plays 54 holes a day in the Fan Golf
work.
Classic. Now you're a host, buddy. Welcome
That's
to the
right.
host life. You got to sit your ass down here, listen to Danny Marang's death metal, and try and hit the par 3 sixth hole over and over again. So he'll be hanging out. We'll be posted up heckling you, admiring your shots. Keep you fed after the round with Matt's Barbecue, and you can go to 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo, information, try and sign up. There might not be any spots left. I do not know. Brand man is not notified yet.
Let us know one way or the other.
As of yesterday, there was only two left in the morning.
We'll find our man Johnny this morning.
Where's
He's
Johnny
the
at?
Keeper of the count.
Johnny's got the count. Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota. Also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson Daughter of Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Tabel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800 Divorce, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer by 10 Barrel, and Window Nation.
There we go.
Boom.
Yeah, Pub Beer.
Goes the dynamite.
I don't want to put something out there, but I heard they might be bringing something to set up out there. I need to find out.
What are we setting up? Like a giant inflatable?
Something about an inflatable bar.
Oh, what?
But I don't know if that's possible.
Tickle me intrigued.
So I don't know if I was...
Is this like the ducks at Big Ten Media Day with their big floaty duck in the water? We're going to do
like
something
that.
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I need to investigate some more. Don't hold me to this.
Okay.
Because I'm in on some of the internal emails that go on behind the scenes.
Yes.
So I might be speaking out of turn.
You're just kind of skimming. You're not even sure if you could say this legally.
And get reprimanded.
Speaking.
It was a query about this is something they would like to do.
They might
know if it would be allowed.
Might get the ruler out and thumpy on your knuckles after
That's
the show today.
That's fine. You know, I don't care.
We'll handle it, all right? Yeah. Welcome back.
You guys get stuff on the air over the weekend.
So there you go. Go sign up if there's any spots left. 1051thefan.com. We'll get to some college football stuff coming up top of the hour. And
Pub beer, a great golf beer.
Oh, it's perfect, dude. It's like, it's exactly, I mean, yes.
Yes, you don't want anything heavy and
I
filling
don't need too
when
heavy.
Out there when you're hot, you're sweating.
I don't want to drink water. It needs to have some substance behind it.
Yes.
There needs to be a buzz involved
Got
here.
Some flavor, though.
I got to find my even keel.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's perfect. Totally agree with that. Let's get to something that might... spark and revive, if you will. I don't know if it will, but maybe it does. A rivalry in this great state.
Yes.
The rivalry formerly known as the Civil War, which we could not call it, but we never stopped.
Yeah, it's pretty much died on the gridiron.
It's dead in football, even if we start playing it again.
I don't
again,
know
like,
what it is in basketball. I think in basketball it can come back. I think the new Pac-12, the basketball, I think could be really good really soon.
Didn't help that we both sucked butt last year.
So you know. I think there's potential for that, but right now where it's most heated is actually on the diamond.
Eat your own butt. That's what our basketball teams did last year. They did a lot of that, so that doesn't help. But this might be coming to baseball, and for those who don't know, you know me. I don't follow college baseball. It's not my jam. But I have been watching. I watched a little bit of that UCLA series. Was that two weekends ago, I want to say?
Yes, they were
the USC series last week.
First team to beat UCLA in conference.
Hadn't lost a Big Ten game, which, you know, it says a lot about UCLA, but also the Big Ten kind of blows.
UCLA will be the number one overall seed in this
Rightfully
tournament.
Rightfully so. They won all those games.
Yeah. Monday, 9 a.m., I believe, is the selection reveal.
Okay, so we'll find out Monday morning during, well, no, we won't. Because it's Memorial Day, but
Memorial
Tuesday
Day,
we will talk about it bright and early.
That'll be the reveal, 9 or 10 a.m.
So there is the Big Ten tournament's kicking off. Oregon's going to play Washington. You heard Swag in his update say that. They're playing the Huskies tonight. Bow down.
Again, scheduled for 7. So they're playing all four quarterfinals out there in Omaha today. The first one is underway. USC has a 2-0 lead on Michigan State in the second.
And why are we doing this in Omaha?
I don't know.
Then they just have a nasty, like, it's like tornado and rain, torrential rain.
Well,
season
there's
for
thunderstorms
them.
Scheduled throughout the day. So, to my like
point,
I said,
why are we doing this?
Scheduled
in
for a 7 p.m. first pitch. That's assuming we don't get any extra innings or weather delays in the three previous games.
All right,
so
have
hang
fun
in
with
there.
Tonight.
It'll be on 9:10 whenever the hell they play it today.
Your stupid ass.
What are we doing? Move it. Look outside. Look outside. What are we doing at Hops Ballpark this weekend?
Well, it
We're
is
out of
nice.
Town.
I think, you know, it's the ballpark that they will play the College World Series, so they have an opportunity, and they say, hey,
well, my team's going to choke before they get there, but that's okay. I digress. The reason I'm bringing this up is that there is now we got our bracketologists in the college baseball world.
Yes, we have bracketologists. We have projections of the field of 64 and who's hosting regionals.
And we have multiple predictions, some with one team hosting, the other with the other hosting.
Yes.
But multiple projections that now include Oregon and Oregon State in the same regional. Now, some of those are Oregon State as the 16 seed and Oregon yes. being the
and
going
I have
on
seen
the road.
Some where they are both hosting, like Oregon yes. State a 14, Oregon a 16. So they're right there. That's,
yes.
That's where they are.
Which
Oregon
let's not have
State's,
that. I don't want that. I
Oregon
want
State's poll rankings right. are higher. They're around, yes. you know, top 10.
But your RPI is struggling.
Their RPI is lower because they have to you know, manufacturing independent
you're playing
schedule.
All those Nancys over there. You're not playing anybody. It'd be
the
a real
Ducks,
baseball school that cancels
okay,
games midweek,
settled,
okay?
Yeah.
This is what we do around here. We,
thanks,
we
Grand
cook
Canyon.
The books.
They were on the schedule for 4 months and then mysteriously, yeah.
Get the f*** out of here.
We don't need you.
Get the f*** out of here.
I just, look, I don't know if this does it. I know a lot of people don't follow college baseball that closely. This is the time of year I will watch. So
yes.
Regionals are fun.
Feel the ping.
Super regionals. Yeah, feel the ping. I'm all about it. Omaha's entertaining if you have a team involved. I'm sure we've never been there. If we get... I don't know which one is better. They're both funny, and they would both be great. I don't care if it's in Corvallis and my team has to go on the road or if it's in Eugene. How many Beaver fans would infiltrate Eugene if that's the case?
Yeah, because it
would
be...
You'd scoop up a ton of tickets if that's happening.
Yeah, it's through the NCAA, so
right.
However you go about getting tickets, and
we don't care that much
Beavers
about baseball.
Beavers fans know how to get tickets.
Yes, they do.
They've been doing this for a while.
Wouldn't that be great? Would that kick up the rivalry,
yeah.
you think, for people?
Well, and the other... Well, because they try to do things, and they've gotten... They've started to take some heat for this because they try to keep it geographically, the regionals, so teams aren't having to travel absurdly. And we've known from the basketball, like who – somebody got on the NCAA in the women's tournament because they kept had to go playing UConn and getting their ass whooped
oh,
by 800 points every year.
Was it the Syracuse coach?
Yeah, it
was
the
yes.
Syracuse. Yeah.
yeah. She's like, this is bogus, man.
Yeah, because if it's more than a certain amount of miles, the NCAA has to shell out for a charter flight.
That helps them. Yeah, you want to go 40 minutes
within,
down I-5?
If it's within like 300 miles, they can bus them.
You can even stop in Junction City if you want
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Stop for a little breakfast, stop at the
so
Wilcox's
the other piece,
house.
A lot of them, Gonzaga is projected to win the WCC conference.
Okay.
So they would be going as a 3 seed to that regional. And then the 4 seed comes from wherever
about,
the hell.
Dude, let's kick this up a little bit. First off, Gonzaga, that's great. How about the Pilots win the WCC?
Well,
they got a shot. Let's do it. We
no,
can do
they
it.
Didn't make the tournament this
they
year.
They didn't make the tournament?
No,
I thought they were having a great
six.
Year.
They had a great beginning of the year.
They beat both
and
the
then,
Ducks and the Beavers.
And then they fell off
oh, Pilots.
Down the stretch.
What are we doing, Pilots?
I
well,
know.
That's a bummer. Okay. Well, I guess
know.
Gonzaga can come to the party then. It would have been really funny if we had Oregon, Oregon State, and Portland
oh,
all the same regional.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Would have been great. Look, I don't know if this does it for a lot of fans. I will watch no matter what the regional is in Corvallis or Eugene. Like that college baseball is fun to me and a chance to go to Omaha.
But if they both put them in a regional.
Can I get a regional final between Oregon and Oregon State, how great would that be?
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of fun, man. It'd be a lot of fun. So hopefully we get it. Some projections out
Canem
there.
Canem and Waz out there pointing at each other. Those are two fiery guys. Like
they are.
They come across as mild-mannered, but behind the scenes, man.
We didn't even need our manager for the last series of the year. We said, go ahead. Go attend your daughter's graduation.
Yeah.
Waz, we don't even need you over here. All right, we'll take down USC. Get out of here. A little college baseball trash talk. Love it. We'll see if they end up meeting in the same regional. Some projections. We'll see how far Oregon goes in the Big Ten tournament. And then Tuesday or Monday to Swag's point, we'll
yeah,
find
Monday
out.
Yeah, Monday morning. Memorial
and
Day
we'll
is traditionally the reveal. It'll be at 9 or 10 o'clock. It'll be, I don't know if it's ESPN or ESPN2 or one of the ESPN stations.
Ducks
but yeah.
and Beavs, baby. Civil War is back.
Get yourself familiar with Ben McDonald and Kyle Peterson.
It's like 1998 all over again. Lots to get to in the third hour of the show. Speaking of the Beavs in the Pac-8, I got some news on them. We'll shove that into the third hour. Good news in the football area. I'll tell you what that is. We got a coach who just, who peed in your Cheerios, dude? He's just taking shots at everybody. So we'll get to that. Let's start, though, with an athletic director saying, stop threatening, actually do it. And the president saying, well, we'll secede if you want us to. Third hour next, 105.1 FM The Fam.